Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the one and only Monday Night Live. And guess who's here? We've got a pretty special episode of Monday Night Live in store for you today. I've got a guest joining us who is based in Melbourne, and very kind of her to join us because I know it's a bit later there. It's 9 p.m. in Melbourne at the moment, and they've just come out of lockdown, so Jen's probably been partying for the last week. But we'll hear from her in a second. But just to give you a bit of background on her entrepreneurial story, she is the founder of an e-commerce store called Billionaire Beauties, which has got an incredible growth story. Founder Magazine quoted her as growing from doing $30,000 in revenue to over $300,000 in 6 months. Incredible growth there. She's started a business during COVID called Curve Sculpting. So now officially a serial entrepreneur. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm Monday Night Live welcome to none other than Jen Japney. Jen, how are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you, Nathaniel. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's the second interview we've done.
I was like chilly laughing with your little mo.
Well, it's getting there. This is only a week of progress. So, you know, we've got 3 more weeks to go. So I'm looking forward to seeing how big it gets. Ian reckons I look a bit like a porn star. Marshall is as handsome as ever. Marshall's taking the limelight as normal. Hey, Paola, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm not sure what you watch.
I didn't want to say it. Jen, you've got such a fantastic repertoire of businesses. And I'm sure there's a lot of businesses, there's always, normally when I interview entrepreneurs, let's get this out correctly, normally when I interview entrepreneurs, there's a couple of stories of businesses that didn't work out. When was your first business, and did you have any experiences that didn't work out before you started the one that had all the success?
So I actually started my first side hustle when I was 22, 23 years old as a side hustle during a full-time job. I was working in hospitality, and I started actually a lash business, and I spent a lot of time just going back and forth with China, just with the packaging, how I want my package to be perfect, how the lash had to be perfect, how each material and everything. So I was very tedious with all the details, to the point where it took so long for me to even launch the business. And once, you know, everyone started selling it and everyone was selling it for cheap, that's when I just ended up having so much stock. So that business, I would say,
so I wouldn't say failed, but that business went.
Yeah, I spent too much time on unnecessary things. So when I launched Billionaire Beauties, it was purely on the back end of having my first website, and then I sold it on Instagram, and it just became a hit. So within the first 3 months, I made $90,000, and I was like, "Oh my god,
wow.
This is like crazy money. I think I should quit my job." So
wow,
it was pretty crazy.
And what was your job?
I was doing waitressing actually. So
wow,
I love
what
making
an awesome
cocktails.
Story.
So
well, that's a handy skill to have. And so you started with lashes, which for the men out there it means eyelashes, right? and then you developed more products, or how did Billionaire Beauties evolve from there?
So Billionaire Beauties, we started selling Solotica, so I found distribution to sell the authentic Solotica, and that was very hard. Oh, it was actually me and a friend, I won't say her name. We were at home and we were like, oh, we really wanted the contact lens because they look really realistic. And then so we ordered it from Brazil, and it took literally 3 months to arrive, and it was quite expensive. And next time I wanted to try other colors, so me and her would, you know, chip in together to buy it. And again, it took months and months and months and months. And we're like, oh my God, I need to do something about this. And the demand was really high. And then so I started to look into it. And then that was when it just went viral. This is when it only started. And we were the first website online to sell this. So that was our point of difference.
Yeah, fantastic. Brilliant. And has Instagram been the main source of your success, would you say, in your growth story?
Instagram definitely really did, because at the start, Instagram and Facebook actually, because Facebook used to show all the reach, and then like literally if we put a video out or photo out, it'll just reach a lot of people. Nowadays, you know, you have to put money into it, so you got to be a little bit more strategic. So back then, I'll just, you know, I'll do 100 a day, and then I'll put that up to 200 a day, and then it'll just, you know, it'll share a lot of to a lot of people. Nowadays, a little bit more complicated than that, so you got to be a little bit more strategic than just posting whatever. Social media back then was a lot easier.
So I've seen also you've had a lot of success. We talked about this in your LinkedIn Heroes interview search engine optimization, the amount of, you know, blogs that you've got on your website. It's very clear that you've spent a lot of time building that website out, and I get the impression that you're a bit of a hustler, a bit of a hard worker. How have you found managing such a demanding professional schedule? Have you got any tips you can share with the audience about how to be more efficient and productive when growing a business?
So just to put that to perspective, so when I launched my business, it was just me on my own with my web developer. So literally I'd be doing the posting, I reply to customers, I call customers, I email customers, I post on social media, I speak to influencers, I do the marketing. So it was a lot, and it got to the point where I was like, I'm like, if I don't work, I'm not making money. So I had to start thinking of a way to delegate my tasks, because I'm a perfectionist. It took me a little bit longer, but once I knew that I was so capped with how much I could make and what I could sell, that was when I went and looked for a virtual assistant and, you know, staff to then hire. And I started with, it took me a long time actually, because I still was like a control freak. So I really wanted to control and micromanage, and, you know, I'm like, no, that's not good enough. So later on, once I got the rhythm of, like, you know, getting a really good staff and they're willing to do everything, like, there's so many ways that you could, like, say, for instance, stuff on the computer, I would screen record and then I'll save it onto YouTube on a private link so she can see it to see how to, you know, do whatever I do. So that was, you're just going to have to find ways. And then years went by, I got better at systemizing.
I can see that. Now, fast forward to COVID, and you've started this new business, which I want to hear about, Curve Sculpting. Sounds like a very innovative product, but I'm going to let you talk about what it is. And I'm curious, like, how different you found, you know, starting up a business now after all the experience that you've had, and, you know, some of the things that maybe you did differently or that you found easier because of your experience with Billionaire Beauties.
So definitely easier, yes, because obviously I know what, you know, I have a big team that I manage, over 10 people now, and I can just kind of delegate tasks. So it is a little bit easier, but still, you know, I'm in a different niche. So you still got to start from scratch and then finding new bloggers and everything. So I started Curve Sculpting purely through being an avid of waist training. Waist trainer, for all the men out there, is actually like a corset where it kind of curves your waist in. So my mom is a really avid waist trainer. So it rubbed off on me and I started getting into waist training. But I never found like the waist trainer on the market is like that comfortable on me. Like, I'm a little bit more bustier, so I found like the waist trainer like push my boobs up too high, and it's really good for posture as well, because I sit on the computer and I tend to like crouch. So when you're wearing the waist trainer, you're like, your posture, it really helps your posture. So maybe I should design one for, I don't know. During pandemic, we had more time to focus on work, because I'm like, well, I can't go out to see friends or family. I'm like, might as well launch this new project. We launched Curve Sculpting during pandemic.
Yeah, and how has this year impacted your business?
I would say I took challenges, and I just, like, the more it got complicated in life, I kind of, like, just worked harder and hired more staff. So I did the opposite of what other people did, you know, like, can't, you know, get rid of stuff. But I was hiring more staff, focusing on the online, what value we can give, and then, yeah, just went hard out. And so
and has we demand made, increased, like, the biggest more people
this month during pandemic.
Wow, really?
Online, definitely. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. During pandemic, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting.
Is it
you're in one of those. Mm. Yeah, it's coming in and out a little bit, but I'm picking up what you're saying very clearly. Yeah, it's one of those, e-commerce is one of those industries where, I mean, you don't have to, you know, I guess I can't see how you would need to pivot the purchase process. So very fortunate in that regard, but it sounds like it's also forced you to, well, not forced you, but you've chosen to put more into the business, given that you've got more time on your hands and not, you know, going out and visiting your favorite cocktail bars as much.
Oh, I don't drink that much. I actually don't party that much. I just like go out to eat, then party. But I think during this time with COVID, people don't have an option to go shop. People don't have an option to go shop out. Outside and touch and feel, and people are just bored at home, so they want to go and try stuff, buy stuff. So I think during that time I made the opportunity to do videos to educate people and to explain as much as you can about how it feels like, and I think that's the best you can do for online so that they would purchase.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And with your Instagram accounts, you have more than one, don't you? So you have different accounts set up that are, what do you call them? Like, are they topic, do you call them topic specific accounts? How would you explain them to the audience?
Feature account. They're feature accounts. So not only we have our own accounts, so we have feature accounts. So we feature like other makeup artists or other bloggers to then gain that traction. So you're giving them sort of value, and it's that kind of audience that you want to sell to, but you're not selling to them all the time, but you're just throwing things at them and really just giving value to the audience.
How many influencers would you be working with on Instagram?
Thousands.
Really? Wow.
I'm
curious personally, like, how do you systemize finding these influencers?
How do I systemize finding these influencers?
Or is it a very manual process?
It's a very manual process, but then obviously I would like craft a message, and then we'll like message the bloggers, and it has to be sort of the same sort of niche. I'll look for someone similar. Say, for instance, I've worked with someone and the engagement is crazy, insane. So then I'll work with their friends. So then it has a more stronger impact when we do promote their following and the other people's following, which are similar following. We'd be like, oh, if she wore it, she wore it, and she wore it. I'm like, I'm going to buy it.
So, yeah, fantastic.
Massive impact, so.
Yeah, awesome. I'm just going to throw in a couple of questions here from the audience.
Sure. I don't actually see the questions, so.
Okay, well, don't worry, we're bringing them up.
Oh, yep.
Paul said, I think it was Greta Van Riel, I hope I pronounced that correctly, who said, if you're not embarrassed by the first iteration of your product, you started too late. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
I know you know Greta personally, so. Good question,
we've
Paul.
We did a talk together, yeah.
Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, but then no. Why? It's because my product ended up being so perfect that it wasn't like a high demand product, but because I made it so perfect, it looked really pretty.
Yeah.
So yes and no, because my first business didn't make it.
Well, yeah, so perfection yes and no, can...
hopefully that answers your question.
But perfection can be a form
complexity
of procrastination,
can't it? Complexity is the enemy. Yes, absolutely. I say this word is complexity is the enemy of execution. Keep it simple. That's something saved me from, you know, overcomplicating ideas, packaging, because there's still designs everywhere you go. So, yeah, for those perfectionists
out
there.
Decisions a lot faster now.
Words. Yeah, absolutely. Aside from what to eat, that's still a struggle for me.
Okay. Luke is joining in the bandwagon of complimenting my moustache and says I can add Paul Clean to the resume now.
Guys, rate it for 1 to 10. 1 to 10, rate it. Put it in the comments what you guys think. of his mustache.
First time I've ever grown one. Yeah. Mm. Raising awareness for men's health, doing my part, you know. I haven't shaved in years. It's really interesting. Like, yeah, I'm going to have to get used to using a razor again. So what does the future look like for your entrepreneurial career, Yen? What are you excited about at the moment?
What am I excited? I'm excited about new products always. I'm excited about new ideas, getting into different niches. Like, say, for instance, I think my life reflects my products. So if I get in, like, say, if I got pregnant and we had, like, I had a baby, then I'll get into pregnancy stuff, or I'll get into baby stuff. It really varies. There's no like end goal, but it's just like constantly going for me. I love it.
And so you've kind of built this machine, with the website and also with your team, that you can quite easily now add new products into it.
Machine. So what do you mean by machine?
Well, do you have a process for product development, then marketing the product, launching the product? And I guess now that you've done it, you know, several times, the team would be used to it and you can kind of roll things out quicker than people.
I think for products, I still do it because I'm so like, I have to try it. I have to see what's wrong with it, see what to improve in it. So I still am very hands-on with the products we launch. So, yeah. I try every lipstick, every lash, every contact lens, every mask, everything. Yeah.
Yep. And is the plan to, I know you were working, like last year we talked a little bit about, you know, you're building your personal brand and you developed a YouTube channel. What's going on in that department?
My YouTube channel has been a little bit like crickets. I haven't done much there, but I've done a lot of content for all my new products, like say with the waist trainer, the curve sculpting waist trainer. I'll do a lot of TikTok. So we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram. So TikTok is really crazy because you don't know what's going to go viral. So one random video you post, it just went viral. Like we've got like, 50,000 views on one video, which is insane. And then another, you know, 30,000 view on like another video, which is, I'm still sussing TikTok out, but there's always something to, yeah.
Yeah, cool. And so are these videos like dancing videos and that sort of thing, or something different?
Yes. You know, it's surprising. Here's the funny thing. So because I came from like a poor family, and so I always have this mindset where I'm like, I've got a budget. So even when I launched my, you know, curve sculpting, I was like, okay, I still got to be on a budget. So I'm like, right now, I don't want to spend so much money on the new product yet. So I'll do the content myself. So I did the videos myself and I did the TikTok myself. And then I did one TikTok, my first TikTok dance, like, dun, 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 dun. Yeah, anyway, that video went viral. And then we knew, I'm like, oh, you know what? Since it's so good, I'm going to put it on Facebook sponsor ad. And out of all the videos, that video made the most money, which is really funny.
That's awesome.
So you just don't know.
Yeah, and do you use influencers on TikTok as well?
We have tried it. It's a little bit different because you can't message them directly. You got to message them on Instagram, so you got to go through like the, you know, it's not that direct.
Okay.
Because the only time you can message them is if they follow you back. So I think maybe because there's a lot of kids on it.
Is there any TikTok influencer agencies, or is that just a huge business opportunity waiting to happen?
They were saying how TikTok is shutting down in certain like countries, so that's why I kind of stopped investing in TikTok. So I don't know if you want to go there.
Yeah, cool. And have you been TikTok? Using LinkedIn? No, oh, look, I do. I've.
Did you do a dance?
I haven't been doing any dancing. No. What I might do is I'll release my first dance video when my moustache gets to 4 weeks.
Nice. You should just go on just for the massage.
I'm going to share Mark's vote because his was the highest, 9.96 out of 10.
9. Wow, Mark. That is, I think 10 being really good.
Everyone's getting pretty specific. Yeah, awesome.
You got 3.25. Not even three, but 3.25.
So again, in your entrepreneurial career, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome so far?
The biggest challenge for me is definitely two things. Having a balanced life, like making time for, people you care about, and definitely financial. With every money you make, I'm like, oh, you make some money, you want to just go and buy whatever you want all the time, but then you still got a budget and then reinvest that back. So having cash flow to keep, reinvesting, because I didn't borrow any money from the bank, so just purely from all my
Well
profit
done.
and saving. And yeah, so definitely two of those things, finance, so reinvesting all the time, and balance. I always trying to keep a balance instead of watching
Yeah,
TV.
and how do you do that? So being an entrepreneur, you've got a remote team. I assume you've been working from home at least this year. How do you manage your time so that how do you manage your time, first of all, to stay disciplined, but also to make sure that you're not constantly working?
It's definitely a struggle. I think during pandemic, I worked a little bit more than I do normally. It's a constant struggle. I think for a moment, I had to think like, oh, okay, I have to take a moment. I'm like, okay, I have to be aware, like I'm working a little bit too much. And then you just do things. Like I live with my partner, and he's super supportive. But sometimes I'm like, I work a lot, so I have to take the time out and have to be consciously aware of how much I'm working, and then go do things with, like go eat or go walk the dog or something like that. So it's definitely a struggle. But it does get better when you hire more staff. That's why I'm always like trying to hire more staff, making sure that whatever I'm doing, I can then delegate that as much as I can.
Yeah. Do you have a business mentor or business mentors?
No, I don't. I surround myself with a lot of business people. But no, I don't have a business mentor. I did a lot of seminars, I went to a lot of John DeMartini. I actually introduced him, didn't I? Dr.
Yes, you
John
did. Yes.
DeMartini, Tony Robbins.
Yes.
Yeah, but more Dr. John
Yeah.
DeMartini's work.
And surrounding yourself with entrepreneurs is an interesting one. Sorry, I've just knocked the table. I've found that out of it, from the entrepreneurs that I've spoken to, they found that mixing with other business owners has been very important to I don't know, keeping their head on straight. I certainly found it as well. Like in the first year in business, many of my friends weren't entrepreneurs, and you know, it's kind of hard. You need someone to bounce things off who's not going to freak out, you know, because a lot of the things we go through, most entrepreneurs have been through. Like you talked about cash flow problems before, and I remember in my first year in business, like when I grew my team, I had month 11, I had 9 contractors working for me, and I was literally getting to the point where every month I had, at the last week of the month, I had to run out to sell enough to pay everyone. And I made the mistake of like going to console in a friend that wasn't an entrepreneur and get his feedback on like what I was doing, and he's just like, what are you can't pay your staff, what are you doing, like freaking out completely. Whereas you know, when now I've got these business owners around me, they don't freak out at all. They completely understand, and
They
I
find
just found it so
resolution.
much healthier, so much healthier. And sometimes, like especially during COVID, like I haven't necessarily been doing things socially as much with other entrepreneurs, and sometimes like just sitting down with somebody for 10 minutes for a coffee, I can get one idea that completely like it just makes my life so much easier. So is that surrounding yourself with other business owners, is that something that you've consciously made an effort to do?
So since I was young, I've always been more mature. So I've always attracted more older people towards me. And I always found like with people that can learn off, regardless, honestly, some is not an entrepreneur, like they're an avid user of something that I'm like, oh, that's amazing. I'm gonna make that into like a product. So I think having a balance of both is really good, because if you have your business people, they always talk about business all the time. You can't have fun sometimes. Or if you're with
Yeah.
your friends who aren't entrepreneurs, you want to just not think about work sometimes. So it really depends. Like I think I've got a really good balance. Yeah,
Yeah.
so
We've
appreciating both.
you've certainly done a great job, and I think that I encourage you to continue with the YouTube stuff. I think like other business owners are going to get a lot out of it. I certainly appreciate your content. I think you're doing a fantastic job, and there's a lot we can learn from the way that you've set up your business with your remote team and you know, e-commerce, social media is a foreign world to a lot of us. So I think we can all, you know, grow a lot from learning from you.
I'll actually tell you why I actually started YouTube. Because, you know, like YouTube is very time consuming, and you got to record and you got to edit and then you got to upload. Uploading takes a long time, especially if your video is long. So I started that doing YouTube because I wanted to challenge myself. So I like to set challenges for myself. And I said, because I was so nervous in front of videos and I couldn't be myself and I was awkward and I wanted to be able to be okay on videos and if I went anywhere. So I started setting a goal to do a video a day. For over a month. I did it like for one and a bit month. And wow. That's when I started the YouTube. And then, so that was when I was sharing everything. Like, so we got to the point, I think the third video, I'm like, oh my God, I'm running out of things to say. So then I share about my day to day, about what I'm doing, am I hiring? And yeah, all the emotions, you see it through all my videos. So yeah, it's exciting.
Okay. And I thought it was awesome, but I know it's time consuming. I know it is time consuming to keep it up. So where's the best place that people can follow you and keep an eye on what you're up to? Is it Instagram? Is it LinkedIn? Is it YouTube? Where do you prefer people to get in touch?
No, definitely
Instagram. TikTok.
No. Yeah. No. I only do it on my business account. Okay. On Instagram at Yen Japney. I was going to say yenjapney.com. No. Yen Japney on Instagram. Really on Instagram. I'm rarely on Facebook. I only do it for business. But Instagram, find me there.
Okay, so yeah, just before we go, I want to get your professional opinion on this suggestion. Mm-hmm. What do you think about a TikTok and Instagram reel of the Mo Progress? Take us on your growing journey and use this as an opportunity. So as I understand it, an Instagram reel would be like, at the end of the month, I could do like these pictures showing the Mo growing. Is that what that is?
No. Instagram Reels is like a TikTok. So, you know, like the video, and it's like short. You can only do like 15 seconds short video. So it goes on repeat. So you know how TikTok, it goes on repeat. You click on the video and it keeps repeating. So that's Instagram version of TikTok. And so maybe she's saying for you to share something on it. But here's a funny thing. Not all Instagram accounts, you can see Reels. I got some accounts. Some accounts I have real, some account I couldn't even add it, or I can't even see it. So,
Okay, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the pictures of the Mo at the start, well, no Mo.
Do a video.
And then week one, week two, week three, and then I'll just show it like slowly growing. Mm. And then maybe I'll do a dance.
I think everyone who thinks of that song, who's my friend, they're like, oh my God, every time I think of that song, I think of your dance. But it's pretty fun.
You'll have to send it to me. Maybe that could be my
video.
I'll start practicing. All right. Thanks so much for joining us, Yen. For everybody that tuned in, have a fantastic week in business, and we'll see you next week on Monday Night Live. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. See you.